Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is now or never. And we are moving forward on the things I was going to cover Friday, but every once in a while, life gives you an interesting opportunity. And I mentioned that we lost our little English bulldog, Maggie, who was 13 and a half years old. Now, folks, that tells you right there how ornery and stubborn she was. Because it seems like the ornery and stubborn ones just, they stick around. But, I mean, she had a very special spirit, a very special heart, and we will miss her. We do miss her. And it's tough, especially when they bond to you, and you have, and there's no, out of all the dogs we've had, and I think this is one of the reasons why my wife loves them, is my beautiful bride, is due to the fact that this is a breed that is completely dependent on everything you tell. I mean, the interactions and relationship is much like a child, where we've actually had cases because we tell them not to do things, and they'll actually not do those things, and you know, like stay out of the trash, stay out of the food. And so if we were gone for a long period of time, I've always, hoped that this would never happen, that we couldn't get home and they would be left there for weeks. And due to the fact that they wouldn't go and knock over the kibble, they probably wouldn't even get the water out of the toilet. Their survival instincts are like nothing. They're totally dependent. They expect you to feed them and, to tell them what to do, when to do it. They don't like it. But anyway, so I'm sure plenty of people have seen English Bulldog little videos and so forth, and they are very stubborn. But they just have this character and this interaction. And I guess it takes a special kind of person to like that breed, but now, obviously, it's becoming more and more popular. That being said, it was tough, but it was kind of a blessing that it happened when both my beautiful bride and I had the availability to be with her. So it was a special experience being able to take care of and do the end of life thing for a dog. And so forth. So anyway, I don't want to get into that, but it's been a tough weekend. I'll just say that. Now, one of the things I always say is that debt is fraud. You're welcome to exercise your appeal to heaven with the Loudon for Liberty or Loudon Liberty Prayer Circle. If you want to have your own, if you have your own, just let us know. And your campaign begins now. As I've been saying, you're already behind the eight ball. Now, we actually have a lot more movement going with counties. And as a matter of fact, in Washington State, it looks like we may have, by the end of the year, four or five counties moving. And so what's holding you back? Because I'm telling you, Washington State, and I know New York is moving forward. They've got an election. They're doing some things. It's just boggles my mind, other than the fact that you're just not desperate in the red states. You don't see how bad it really is, and you're just glad you live where you do, and you don't hear the train coming. And so there's lots of things that may not ever affect you before the hammer falls. You need to get into your counties and get them into constitutional compliance, because as I've experienced, and as Tammy has already mentioned when we've talked on this, when she's on the call or on the phone here, or actually on the show, that's what I meant, she'll come right out and tell you that the counties are probably the worst vestige of government in Wyoming, the county commissioners. So they've been getting away with doing the bureaucratic dirty deeds, and you need to stop this. You need to take control of your county. It is the one government that we have failed to create. It was created for us, and actually that's not how it's supposed to happen. Governments in America, since the revolution, the people institute their government. And so we need to take these governments back so we can properly institute them and properly start rewiring our state into a more perfect union, because bottom line, the the general powers that are being exercised at the state level are absolutely repugnant, absolutely tyrannical, and we need to start marching forward. Now, people have heard me say that we need to have state constitutional conventions where you rewrite your state constitution. And I don't know how people would lend that to me supporting a CONCON, a federal constitutional convention. But that being what it is, let me just kind of move forward. You need to get involved, folks, and we've got petitions. These petitions will help drive and create the committee, and that's the whole point you need to focus on. You need to get your county commissioners to actually do what needs to be done. And so even though you may not get them in your county, because you might live in a blue county, you got friends in other counties, get them smart, get them involved. Let them start listening. As a matter of fact, let me know. We'll start creating a mentoring call. It doesn't take long. I mean, I've got some observations on mentoring. I've been doing it for a while. And there are those who are really good proteges, are the ones that are going to become mentors themselves, because they ask questions, they challenge everything. And I don't mind that. But if you've been doing it for 6 to 8 years, and you still run off and do things that, you know, absolutely are antithetical to what we need to do. I mean, it's one thing to prove me wrong, but it's another thing to disregard what I'm saying and then just try to run. You know, it's like all of a sudden you're getting up out of your chair and you run across the room into a brick wall. Pow! Well, I thought I could get through it this time. I mean, that is insanity. Prove me wrong, and we can make corrections. I'll do whatever it takes to make this the process as efficient and efficacious, as good as possible. I truly believe in continuous improvement. So there are those, like I said, that they're, you know, after even 6 to 8 years, will get up out of their chair and run across the room into a brick wall. They won't. They're not really listening, and they're kind of like a vampire. They take up a lot of my time, and there's only a few of them now, but it's unfortunate that they can't back out and see how they can truly get footing into leading. They just, you know, they need to. I guess they need to be a bright star in the heavens quick. It's like get-rich-quick schemes. There's no such thing. I mean, you have to lead, and it takes time to get people to follow. They have to understand that you actually know what you're talking about. It doesn't take long, though. Once you've actually answered their questions and they can't, you know, they can't unprove or prove that you're wrong. Anyway, so what we do want to do is we want to open up more mentoring. So we're actually opening up more mentoring in Washington State. What about your state? We just started up a new team in Georgia. What about your state? And I believe this coming summer we'll probably have a few mentoring sessions in Wyoming. And as a matter of fact, she doesn't know it, but I'm going to be asking her, and I'll probably put it on the air here. I'm going to ask Tammy if she's considered setting up a class or a mentoring, an online meeting with her friends and members of the party and what have you, going through the five critical documents, because that's what you start with. You got to start with that. People need to understand explicitly that we have to demand and understand interposition and demand compliance, because that's what an interposition is. It is a complete assertion of whatever force necessary to obtain what needs to be done so that the damage doesn't proliferate, get any worse. You stop it and you put it in its place. Now, I know I also mentioned, before I get back into the DOGE and the comparison of what they're doing and so forth, but I know I moan and groan a lot when I listen to the conservative entertainers, whether it is Charlie Kirk, whether it's Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, those guys that replace Rush, and I'm not even going to attempt the names. And actually, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I actually saw his name's Joe something, and he's very popular because I hear people forward me links and so forth. And don't do that, folks. Don't send me links because I just don't have the time. And so Joe, because I got the video, was actually, I didn't recognize Joe because I don't know who he is, but I did recognize Elon Musk. And I sat there and I listened just for a short period of time to realize what a waste of my time it is listening to him interviewing Elon Musk. And so if you like the feel goods and you like to get some interesting information, I can see why it's very popular. But if you're looking for a solution, then you're not going to find it from Joe. You won't find it from the rest of these guys. And as a matter of fact, I don't think they care. I really don't think they care. I think, you know, I think some of these guys, Joe included, just really want to be able to share insights and other information, kind of help things along, but they're not going to stop us from going off the cliff. As a matter of fact, maybe they don't even see the cliff. Maybe they don't realize just how close we are to the cliff with Trump as president. And until Trump gets in line with the Constitution, he will be getting my criticism and ire. I'm sorry, folks. I'm not a sycophant. Just because it's a Republican in office, as Madison stated in the Virginia Resolutions of 1798, we must oppose every infraction. Now, when I look at what DOGE is doing, and you heard me going down this path of giving you what really should be happening with the Department of Education, right? I mean, the states need to dismantle that. If Trump does it, it will be worthless because the next president can come back and replace it. If the states do it and the states basically put their hands around the necks of all these congressmen to say, either you do this or we'll pull you back and charge you with a felony and remove you. So that way, these guys can actually do the state's bidding, and they will do. The states have the authority to force this. Madison spelled this all out. We've gone through this. We'll go through it again later. When we come up to the five critical documents, folks, you're going to want to hear it again. But if you want to go through it now, go ahead and go to the academic source documents page, the ASD page. What you land on it, and you'll see the academic source document, but it's subtitled The Proverbial Horse's Mouth, because these are the documents of the framers, and you're going to hear it from them, literally what that Constitution means. Couldn't put it better. Anyway, so as we look at the conservative entertainment industry, it is just absolutely frustrating because these guys don't get it. I'll bet you, because a lot of these guys probably, because some of them advertise for Hillsdale College, so I think they get that kind of education, but they just don't get it. They don't understand this limited and defined Constitution, that it is literally that tight. That all of these things that they're doing is not legitimate. So who's the problems? Well, on Friday, I actually aired the fourth show of a series of shows regarding Bill Hermeson and the general assemblies that are building in Missouri. And it's like these little small cadre teams are creating shadow governments. And so that, when I originally did that, let me pull that up, because I was actually asked, and I want to tell you when you can find those shows. So if you go to the 2023 archives, you go to the podcast archives, go to the year 2023, and then go down to the 31st of January, and then the 1st and 2nd of February, and then go to the 7th of February. The one I rebroadcasted was the 7th, which was having Bill come back and kind of hold his feet to the fire and say, look, I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing what you guys are doing is actually treasonous. You're creating a shadow government. He really believes that he's on this side of the line of the Constitution. I'm telling him, no, you're not. If you're communicating to The Hague, you're already violating, the Logan Act. The Logan Act means that no citizen can communicate to any nation regarding governance. I mean, it's one thing to go there and visit. You know, it's another thing to maybe go there and do some business or try to get some business done. But when you're engaging and talking to governing bodies like Bill Gates, that's treason. That's at least a violation of the Logan Act, which is why we basically spell it out, because Bill Gates is literally and actively using his money to run an insurrection against the United States and our Constitution. This man should be stripped of his money, his assets, and everything, and be kicked out of the United States. Period. Seize all of his assets and basically let him out by shipping him out with a military cargo plane with a shirt on his back, and that's it. And then let him basically go wherever he wants to go, but he ain't taking nothing with him. Just like the Tories. That's why we covered the Tories Act in January, the very beginning of the year. So as we kind of move forward here, I just get so frustrated, and I apologize for the rant. I do know this, that, you know, and I even say this every once in a while. I need to actually probably make a page on my website. I bet my life. I bet, and list all the people there. I bet my life these people will not get engaged with Republic Review and Reclaiming the Republic and demanding full compliance out of every public servant and starting at the county and methodically going through taking back your counties and then use the counties to take back your state. And then moving forward, we get, you know, the state to start talking to other states and so forth. We have to do this. And as a matter of fact, this is not rocket science. I think that anybody that could, you know, make a souffle should be able to command this process very, very easily. You just got to learn a little bit. It's just some of these things that you don't understand. First Amendment petition, what the heck is that? Common law. And as a matter of fact, we have a common law problem because we don't have any. What we have is a government that has tried to assume common law without the authority to do so. Now, every state had declared common law to be the law of the state. And it was the law of the state as they started migrating into secular and defined constitutions. They never granted themselves the power to actually conduct all the business of justice regarding common law. Instead, the state government was delegated very specific powers, and that would be the limit or the extent of their jurisdiction. If it's not within their jurisdiction, we have then a necessity to go into a common law court, but somehow they absconded that. And they basically are telling us, oh, their traffic court is your common law court. Now, because traffic court is a common law court thing. If it was actually under their jurisdiction, then when they wanted to cite you for anything greater than $20, you have a right to a trial by jury if they're actually executing a common law court. And the Constitution actually guarantees that any in common law suits or common law cases where the value exceeds $20 of the dispute, of the controversy, then the right of the trial by jury shall be preserved. In other words, the Constitution guarantees if you've got a traffic citation of over $20, you have a right to a trial by jury, not to stand in front of a judge where he can just say you're guilty and you pay the fine. You see the difference? We don't have common law court. They are not giving us common law, nor do they have the authority to regulate it. The common law courts need to actually be administered down at the county if you actually delegate that. But the problem is they just started assuming and creating their new court system and said, well, this is your common law court. And it's not. Common law court means that any man can walk in without even having to file. It's not about money. It's about justice. That a man can go into a common law court and basically petition the court to hear his case about how his neighbor, and this is not a money-making thing for lawyers. It's a very simple process that any person can go in. You don't even have to have any smarts on legalities and understanding processes. A common law court is where you actually have a judge and a jury. They're sympathetic and listening to what you plead in your case. And letting the other person plead their case because they built, a little corner of their garage they put up on your side of the shack. And so, okay, well, if that's the case, then we're good, right? So, no, we're not good. The reality is if they built their garage, a little bit of it on your property, then they actually have to pay for your property. Now, either that or you can have them remove that. But common law is not a vessel of making money. The concept of saying, well, we want to award you damages. It's one thing to pay for your medical bills. But the pain and suffering and inflicting a punishment like millions of dollars for hot coffee, that's not common law. That's not justice. That is using a court system to basically create financial punitive damage on somebody that they want to destroy. And that's not the court's position. So I am hoping that as we go into this year, actually I'm hoping to get a hold of Rob Duff and a few other people, a couple other lawyers I know, because I'd love to see someone actually sit down and write a, I'll call it the Blackstone's, commentaries on the law. Instead of it being Blackstone's, it would be Bob's commentaries on the law of Washington State. And somebody else needs to do one on the laws of Montana and the laws of what your state. Every state needs to have its own commentaries because the powers we've delegated to our government are a lot different. And in some ways, your government actually may have legitimate authority over a few things that maybe you don't want them to, but they do because it's actually in the Constitution. And here's the real problem. The real problem is that they've been giving themselves more and more power by using a democratic process, not a Republican process. And that right there is a huge rub, my friends, because the Constitution guarantees that we will have a Republican form of government. And you can't say that your government, as it changes by measures of democracy, by popular vote and so forth, that they can inflict more and more and more pain upon you. Now, remember, if your government is just not working out, We all have a right to put off that government, alter it, or create a new one. We'll be right back after this.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let's get back to the education, because it's, there's a lot of people hoping that it just gets dismantled, and it's going to be problematic, folks. I'm just going to tell you, it is a real problem. It needs to be dismantled by the federal government. And the state governments, actually, when you look at the state constitutions and their education, it doesn't have that much power. I mean, when you look at most of the constitutions I've looked at, if they include education, it's just very limited. That a right to education or free, public, what have you. I believe that that is wrong. I believe that as a society, we all need to contribute to help the next generation become prepared to do what they need to do to keep this nation afloat and going in the right direction. And we can see that our education system is the antithesis of that. It is absolutely going in the wrong direction. So when we look at this concept that all children have a right to, this public, an equal quality education and so forth, I don't buy that. And as a matter of fact, this is where we really come into a problem, because when you have two people, right now, the government doesn't and the government shouldn't. Right now, because we've become so godless, the government is enabled and actually protects the right of, I'll just call it illegitimate children, children that out of wedlock, those types of things. And so... the communities really need to step in and get the federal government out of this. And what we have to do is we have to honor the parental rights. And I would just say, go slow in trying to take away any type of parental rights. Now, each parent needs to start making decisions of whether, they want their children to be homeschooled or not. And those who are poor probably can't afford it. We have a lot of buildings that have been created for education purposes. And I believe that those buildings can easily be repartitioned, repurposed by community groups, churches preferably, where the churches can go in and actually offer to the children, not as babysitting service, but to children, resources and so forth, because the folks can't afford a computer. They can't afford a home or what have you. And it is not government's job to do that. But if we actually could provide the children with the resources so that they could learn at home, then, because I think at a certain point, that child really needs to take because at this point, you know, the way our system has gone with this military academy, children don't like it. They don't like being there. I mean, they like the social part, but they're not in the mood of learning. They don't care about learning, and kids are kids. And so we, at this point in time, because we don't hold anybody accountable, the kids aren't feeling that they're going to be held accountable either, so why even care? Now, if everything changes, if we literally change our system, then making people accountable would be for the better. So in other words, if a child at a certain point, maybe 10, 12, whatever that is, can actually start getting into very good educational programs on their own. All they need is a few resources, right? Now, if government actually provided one way or the other the infrastructure for the internet, then that becomes, you know, a no problem. A child would have access to be able to learn. Now, the other thing is the states, I think that this needs to go down by the county, but I can see how we would want to actually have the internet porn free. Now, it doesn't mean that the porn won't exist, but you can make it so that that type of content is no longer in the open domains of .coms and what have you, .us. Anything that is of public nature should be a .xxx, or I should say, not sexual, but, you know, what do you want to call that? Mature, erotic nature, what have you. And so the only people that would be able to get that, if the state allowed it, because you can block that. I mean, the states can literally, if you live in a good red state that says, we don't want that. Now, that means that it's not going to come over their line. Does it mean that they're going to make pornography illegal in the state? No, because if it comes in, because if you have satellite, you can bring it in. So there's still going to be ways of bringing it in. But if that line is a government line, because now they control, because here's the power, right? Now, if you only give the state the authority to basically create these blocks on the .xxx, whatever, you can leave all of the rest of the powers to the counties. If Seattle wants to have, you know, a completely wild, wild west internet, then they would open up those filters to allow that to happen. Let things get to the county. And once the counties actually come into their existence, because when we get into the state constitution, why is this so important? The counties need to understand. The people need to literally start laying out what they want. And, oh, by the way, you better be attuned to what other counties are doing, because if those counties are actually going down the path of kind of blocking pornography, kind of blocking, you know, the crap that is only a debasement of society, which that's, if that's what the people want. If the majority of the people want to delegate that type of power to their county government, then good on them or bad on them, however you look at it. But those other counties that want to have abortion, then when you go into the state, if you have the majority of the counties that say, we want to get rid of abortion, then you can actually mandate at the state level, but you couldn't take it away from the county. In other words, the state will not be involved. You'd actually have to have a majority for the state to get involved. Now, it's not the state's job to take away the sovereignty and the liberties of the people of the county. So the count, you're actually going to be governing yourself. But what we're going to do is we're going to really limit the state so that the state only does those things that we tell them to do, so that when they look at what they have to do, they go, okay, we're going to need this much in money, instead of being able to carte blanche, reach into your pocket and spend money. Going down this path, it puts people in control of their government, starting at the county. Now, we haven't even really dove into this. My next article, the right of the First Amendment right of petition, which is the next article, I dive into what we're going to be petitioning and the road we need to go down. Those people who want to be, you know, in a professional world, like a doctor, I don't know if anybody would want to be a lawyer once we're done with our legal system, but there may be some, but the days of the ambulance chasers could quickly go away. And the days of, you know, getting back to, I'll just say, a constitutional and a wholesome system where government can't inflate currency because we're back on gold and silver. So when we look at the education, now just going back to that, because I remember that's where I started on this. When we look at the education, you'll have these old, you know, public buildings that were built by the county or the state in providing an area for education. There's no reason why those buildings can't also still be used for public purposes as well. And anybody can use a room or two. And eventually you could probably have 20 different groups in there providing curriculum. But this is where the free market in curriculum kicks in. If a child wants to learn math, which they're going to have to get to the next level or what have you, to graduate, to get their certificate, they're going to need to have certain amounts of credits of very specific essential subjects. Not DEI crap, not learning how to tear down monuments and statues, but the essentials of literature, the essentials of English, the essentials of history, the essentials of math, sciences, and so forth. So they're going to know exactly what, because it's going to be up front. They're going to know, I've got to take all these classes. And a child will be able to, any smart kid, as a matter of fact, this is actually proven. If you've ever seen a video where the children were informed that if they gave them a cookie, and then they were told, if you eat the cookie or a little cupcake, whatever it was, a little treat, and they said, if you eat the treat now, you won't be able to get another treat. But if you don't eat the treat and we come back in 10, 15 minutes, or when we come back and you still have that treat, we'll give you another treat. Guess what? Almost all the kids waited. There was maybe one that chose not to. And those kids start learning quickly that, oh, that was a mistake because these other kids got theirs. They got an extra one and I didn't. So when we look at, you know, placing and allowing the family to actually choose, and you have, let's just say you go to yaymath.org and you've got Robert who teaches the math to the kids, that would probably become one of the most popular math courses, period. Because it's all online, the forms are all on, you know, the worksheets, all of that. And so any child could actually get their schoolwork done, and then once they've passed the test, or once they've finished the curriculum, is when they're ready to take the test, they take the test on their own. In other words, I believe giving the parents and the children, the community and everybody else a free system, so that people can start making choices. Now, I know children are way too young and are impressionable at a very young age. So I think that that's where the importance of parenting is making the best decisions or the right decisions. The real problem is that we have way too many people that weren't thinking when they made the parent, when they performed the parenting act. And that right there, there are consequences to that. And so if society is going to hold the parents accountable, in other words, if the parents are going to be going to work or what have you, and they need somebody to assist, then they're going to need to go to a church. They're going to need to find a community organization that they can trust their children with. Hopefully they care enough about their children that they trust that type of stuff, and that they will find a good quality church where that church will actually be able to assist in providing both spiritual guidance as well as education. This is how we take back the education system. It's not about charter schools. It's not about, you know, coupons. It's not, I mean, that is lipstick on a pig. Making a free education system and making education free should be, you know, the focus. And that if the counties want to actually provide, so in other words, if the counties are going to say, because look at what they pay, you know, how much they pay, $20,000 a child, something like that, or $50,000, I don't know. I know it's just an ungodly amount of money that would pay for your internet. It would even probably pay for, if you were subscribing to robertsyaymath.org, it'd easily pay for all of that plus all of your other courses a year. So if that goes away and we actually have, I would say, a school board, where the school board is actually judging the curriculum, we will quickly get to the cream of the crop educators for 0 to 12. And then from probably, you know, junior and, or I should say, not junior, associate and bachelor degrees as well, you know, as well as skills. We have way too many teachers. We have way too many ideologues as teachers. We don't need that many. They can get a regular job. They can finally figure out what they want to do and actually go have kids of their own. If they want to poison kids' heads, they can poison their own kids' heads. Bottom line, if we actually created a free system, there would be some bumps in the road. But that at least is taking us in the right direction away from this failed design education system that has actually taken us from what we were once a decent nation in education to one of the worst. When we look at all of the different types of roles out there that we want to get rid of, right? What we want to do is we want to actually start going after housing. Now, housing and there's lots of people that benefit from government, contractors, builders. If you could actually live in a tent, a lean-to, or just prop up a bunch of sticks and then create, you know, something over that to kind of create a roof and a wind protection, and that's where you could have a family, like even in a log cabin, they wouldn't allow you to. As a matter of fact, especially if a one-room log cabin, you have a bunch of kids, no way. Child Protective Services would come down on you like that. Because it's one thing to have some abusive standards and so forth. But as far as I'm concerned, I believe that we actually have to get the big government, the federal government, and the state government out of it. And I believe that let the people govern themselves of how they want to govern those types of things. Do you really want to govern housing? Do you want to actually take money out of your hard-earned money and create regulations to employ somebody to go around and enforce something? They're not making things better for us. They're actually increasing the cost of homes, and they're forcing us to have to spend more money. Oh, because if you have, you know, four kids and you got two boys and two girls and the ages are such, you have to have a private room for them. But when they start creating standards like that, it's almost like when poor people come here, somebody comes from another nation here, and they can't afford a home like that. Oh, well, the government's not going to give it to them? Folks, this is just crazy. For millennia, people and families have been able to pull together and, you know, survive in a struggle together as a family. Now, we're talking about families. We're not talking about, you know, bump in the night, you know, a child is born. We're not talking about those types of conditions. I'm here to tell you that if we actually get government out of being our parents, then we're going to find, a reconstituting, a rebirth of the quality in the families in America once again. Housing is one of those things. I mean, do we want to actually have standards? Do you want to be able to afford a house, regardless of its standards, and walk in knowing, okay, if I get hit with a tornado, it's over. If I get hit with, wave storm action because I'm on the coast, it's over. Do you need insurance? Do you have to have insurance? All of these types of things are just ways of separating us, hardworking Americans, from our disposable income. Oh, you got a mortgage? Well, you got to have insurance on your home. You got to have insurance on your car. And all the time, these companies are making more and more money. What would life be like without insurance, as far as car insurance, homeowner's insurance, life insurance, and so forth? Well, then people would actually have to be responsible. They would actually have to think about putting money aside for their retirement, maybe, instead of having Social Security. We're not going to end Social Security, but we have to end all these other insurances. And if we go down this path, maybe some of us, maybe us older folks, because we've been so damaged by the pharmaceutical companies that we may not live long. But I believe that if we clean things up, maybe our children and their children will live longer and fuller lives, as they no longer, put mercury in our bloodstream, as they no longer, spray, those heavy metals in the air. We have to get government out of doing things government shouldn't be doing. The two objects of government are to protect life and to protect private property, your property. So, when we look at what they're doing, boy, they sure are taking your property to kill you. That's how crazy it is, folks. So, when we look at, how we can take back housing, if you want to have standards for your housing, you make it at the county level, not at the state level. If you want to have standards on labor, here's the funny thing. In the state of Washington, they actually made their decree of the communist legislative body this past year, in 2025, this past session. They've made their decree that they want to increase the minimum wage to $25. Now, I defy anybody to go into the Washington State Constitution and find the fact that they have the authority to set a minimum wage. And yet they're doing it. And in so doing, they are destroying the economy and basically setting up everybody to basically be in a position where they lose their homes, and they can't, if you can't afford to live here, you can't live here anymore. Maybe they're doing this to leave the Bezos and the Gates and those other people that, have that kind of affluence to rule those who, can't afford to live here. And that right there is a defiance of those two fundamental objects. So when we talk about dismantling education, housing, labor, it has to be done by the states. The states have to provide the directive of exactly of laying out the facts of the fact that the federal government had no authority to do this, and then lay out exactly its expectations that by this point in time, this will be completely shuttered. And in the process of getting to there, we need this resource, this stuff turned over. Before you turn the lights off and lock the doors, you need to transition all this data to us. And from there, we'll create the repositories, and we will examine later to determine who we're going to get our pound of flesh out of. By doing that, it allows those people the opportunity of justice. And I didn't say when. I didn't say down the road you can't have justice, or maybe long down the road you can have immediate justice. Those of you that, you know, want to get that stuff done, but you can't get there. You can't have justice. You can't start fixing the other things until we take control of our government. You can't get people to actually serve legitimate sentences if you do not have control of your government, because your courts are already problematic. Not only problematic, they're so corrupt, getting justice is a joke in America. So when we look at energy, labor, all of these different things, health and human services, the states have to take the stand. They have to actually make a directive and present that to Congress to say, you will cease and desist this department. You will, you know, have it staffed by 50%. Because when you have such a monstrosity, yeah, you could easily shutter something in a day. But that makes it very chaotic. It's not good. We have to basically say, we're not funding any of your programs. The only funding that we're going to do is the funding of people. We're going to basically maintain your whatever your pay is until you're out. Going down this path now that I got less than 2 minutes, going down this path makes it impossible for the court to put their fingers in this. It is impossible for the courts to claim jurisdiction when you've had the states tell the Congress that you had no authority to do this and you will shut this down. And anybody that doesn't abide by and support you, prove to us where you had the authority in this enumerated constitution. You didn't? Okay, clean. Nice and simple. It's gone. You will fulfill this directive. They try to go to court, and a court justice actually rules against the directive, then the states will literally demand Congress to remove those justices. There you go. Because everybody has to be accountable to the Constitution. A judge that wants to wage an insurrection against the Constitution by demanding unconstitutional government stand no longer has any business being in government, or maybe even being a citizen and living in the United States. All these people who want to have their little insurrections and want to have the government to do whatever they want it to do, they're going to go. We can't allow the camel's nose in the tent. We can't allow the enemy to live among us. We need to finally wake up, folks, and we need to actually take the bull by the horns and say, look, we're going to live by the Constitution. You want to have it another way, you're gone. We're not going back down that bad path anymore. If you want an amendment, we will talk about it. But the states, we're now at a point where we're not giving you anything over the domestic matters of the United States anymore. No more. We're going to actually take it all over by the states, and we're going to control the domestic matters, and we're going to allow you to do those few things that you've been delegated to do, because you do a darn good job when you're focused on them. And with that, folks, we'll let it go. And we'll be picking up more of Madison's notes on the convention tomorrow. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract. And with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.